Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Well, it's 150 years since the first women were allowed to study at University of Cambridge, and the Cambridge University Library will be sharing the unique stories of women who have studied, taught, worked and lived at the university in its new exhibition, The Rising Tide, Women at Cambridge, which begins next month. We are joined in the studio by Dr. Ben Griffin, who is one of the creators of the exhibition. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Obviously, it's got to be a fascinating exhibition. Can you tell us a little bit of what we will see if we go along to the exhibition?
Well, until Girton College in Cambridge was created in 1869, there was nowhere in the UK where women could get the same university education as men. So the exhibition is starting there and looking at the ways in which women have lived, studied and worked in the university since then. That was 1869, and the first men's colleges didn't start admitting women until the 1970s. And within that 100 years, women had to fight to get access to the same exams as the men. They didn't get the right to attend lectures until the 1920s. And until 1948, the university wouldn't give them degrees. So women were doing all the work, taking the exams, but they couldn't get the degrees until 1948. And Cambridge was the last UK university to give women degrees. So that's what the exhibition's about.
See, now, in that little bit alone, I've learnt so much. I didn't know a lot of that. I didn't know that they were coming to the college, you know, to the university. They weren't actually being allowed in to get the lecture, to then even get the degree. So why were they allowed in the first place?
Because Emily Davis insisted on building a college. at first, women had to ask lecturers for special permission to go to the lectures, and there were sympathetic male lecturers in Cambridge who would let the women in. So we've got letters in the University of Academics deciding whether or not women should be allowed into the lectures. Women had to make special arrangements with the examiners. Would they be allowed to take the exam that the examiner had set? Mm. And we got some lovely little sketches drawn by students in the 1870s illustrating the different stages of exam stress. These little cartoons of students looking increasingly frantic and dishevelled. But it wasn't until 1881 that the university said, yes, okay, women can take the exams. But the fight for degrees took years. Mm. So in 1897, the town was plastered with posters urging the university either to admit women or not to admit women. And we've got those in the exhibition as well. But yes, it took until 1948.
Wow, fascinating stuff. And am I right to think it was Magdalen College, which only in the mid-80s allowed women in?
They decided 87, the first women were admitted in 88.
Amazing, yes.
And there's a place I go to in London for conferences. I think it's the Royal College of Physicians. It might end up being the Royal College of Surgeons, but there's a mural on the wall of some 1800s famous people who have come out of this place. And there's one which your eye always goes to the gaze of, because it was actually a woman disguised as a man who went in and got a degree, and that was the way that she managed to get the degree through. That, you know, that sort of thing, just absolutely ridiculous if you think about it now.
I don't think we've got any examples of that in the exhibition. I'll have to have another look, but I don't think we've got that.
But there is something, I think, about the riots, which in this 1921, I think, in this lead-up, I think, reference it of sorts earlier.
Well, actually, there are two riots.
Two?
There's a big vote in 1897. The university has a vote to decide whether to give women the titles to degrees, not the degrees themselves, but just the right to assume the title of the degree. And the students turned it into a carnival. And as people showed up to vote, they were pelted with eggs and confetti and fireworks. One passing librarian scooped up some of it. And we've actually got the fragments of the fireworks and eggshells in the exhibition. And when the vote was announced that actually women weren't going to get degrees, there was great rejoicing among the male undergraduate population, and they decided to go and march to Newnham College and try to force entry. And the staff at Newnham barred the gates and appealed to their gentlemanly sentiments. And the crowd decided, OK, they weren't going to storm Newnham, so they went back and wrecked Market Square. And they tore the doors and shutters off the local shops, built a huge bonfire in the middle of the market, which raged until 3 a.m. when the fire brigade came to put it out. And the students tried to stop them, so the fire fire brigade turned the hoses on the students. So when in 1921 the university had another big vote, there was a sort of a model there for the students to follow.
Right.
And once again they marched on Newnham, and this time they did do a lot of damage. They took a handcart and they battered the gates of Newnham College, which was very sad because the gates of Newnham College are these beautiful ornamental bronze gates. They are the memorial to the founder of the college and the first principal, Anne Jemima Clough. You know, it's a memorial to her, and so the college took this very, very personally. They did a lot of damage to the gates, and the following day, next 2 days, all the men's colleges had meetings to debate the violence of the previous week. And we have a letter from the men in the university regretting the violence and apologising. And six of the ringleaders of that riot were expelled.
My goodness, so there was also this incident, I don't know if this was then on another occasion, when an effigy of a woman riding a bicycle was suspended from a window, well, with banners all around them.
That was 1897.
That was the 1897 one.
There's an amazing picture of King's Parade, absolutely packed. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people in 1897 who'd come up for the vote or had just come along to watch. Because one of the peculiarities of the University of Cambridge until the 1920s is that the people voting on whether or not to give women degrees were former students. In 1920, the academic staff in the university were in favour of giving degrees to women. It's the former students who came up and voted to keep the university as they remembered it, as it had been when they were students. And we've got posters from 1897 advertising special trains that were laid on from London to bring former students back to vote.
But they'll lead to the train station which was built out at town to avoid people from the university using it.
Absolutely. Right. And the students met them at the railway station in the carriages, brought them into the centre of town. As they came in, they would have seen this effigy suspended outside Caius College, a parody of a Girton student on a bicycle.
So where do all these pieces live the rest of the time before you gather them together for the exhibition next month?
We've pulled them from all over different bits of the university, really. The posters about giving women degrees, they're actually held in the university library itself. The founding of the women's colleges, the material for that comes from those colleges, from the Girton College archive. We're also interested in different kinds of activism that women in the university have been involved in over the years. So, for instance, the archive of the Cambridge Women's Lib movement is in Girton College, so we've got material from the 1970s from that college. But Magdalen have given us some material. We have the breviary of the founder of Pembroke College, because of course even before women could study in Cambridge, they were there. They founded some of the colleges. Lady Margaret Beaufort founded St John's. They were also there, of course, as the domestic staff, as the cleaners and the cooks. We've got a lovely video interview with a 101-year-old woman who had been a cook in Newnham College during the Second World War, talking about what it was like in a time of rationing to feed all the students.
Amazing.
So it's not just the academic side of the university that we're trying to cover in the exhibition.
You were telling us, actually, we were listening to the song before, that there was a little bed note that you'd found. Can you tell us a little bit just about that story?
Yes, we've got a note from a bedmaker in one of the men's colleges to a male student complaining that if he spends all day in bed, she can't do her job, so urging him to get up earlier so she can go in and do the cleaning and make the bed.
Oh, I love that. Get out of my way. So did you also think that St John's College was founded by a woman?
Lady Margaret Beaufort, the mother of King Henry VII.
Incredible. One of the major richest, one of the richest colleges, longest there as well.
Well, as you walk into the exhibition, what you're going to see is one whole wall is going to be plastered with pages of the 1881 petition demanding that the university give degrees to women. We've got a whole wall, 4,000 signatures covered in that. And then you're going to see this breviary from the woman who founded Pembroke College. And side by side with that, you've got some documentary evidence about one of the cleaners in Magdalen College from the 18th century, just to remind you that even before women were admitted as students, they were there as founders, they were there as the non-academic staff.
Sounds absolutely fascinating. And anybody can turn up to this at the university library?
Anyone can show up. It's free to enter.
And all starting Monday, 14th of October. That sounds pretty good.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, Ben, thank you very much. Dr. Ben Griffin, who along with Dr. Lucy DeLapp has put together this exhibition at the Cambridge University Library. It's called The Rising Tide, Women at Cambridge. And as we say, that one all starts Monday, the 14th of October. Ben, thank you very much.
Thank you.
From me, Julian Clover.
And from me, Lucy Milazzo.
Top of the morning. Good morning.
Have a great day. We are back tomorrow at 7. So fascinating exhibition, but fancy all those notes saved for so long coming back to haunt you.
Yeah, just imagine all the messages that could, come back and bite us.
Oh yeah. WhatsApp's encrypted, right?
Cambridge 105 Radio.